Hello and welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Robert Digital.
I'm Mender's Logic.
I'm Flopsy, and this is the podcast by PC Gamers for PC Gamers.
Well, it's not quite the end of the year, but we're going to do this anyway. It is our official DL Gaming Game of the Year episode.
Woo!
Dun-da-da-da, trumpets and shit. There we go. That's pretty good. All right. So Chad may not be able to make it through the entire episode. He has to catch a plane.
Yeah, let me apologize, first of all, because one, I'm sick. So if you hear me hacking in the background, it's because I'm sick. Two, it's early in the morning, which we don't normally do.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a little bit weird.
And we got no Albie either, so we're not going to be. Yeah. There's going to be no facts. I'm going to say facts, but whether or not they're factual, that's a whole different thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, happy birthday to Albert, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm not sure the exact day, but that's what he's off doing. And we'll get as close as we can with factual information, but no guarantees. All right. So Chad, you want to start us off with what is your top pick for 2014?
Okay. So first of all, I want to get the kind of the big ones out of the way because I'm not going to pick a big one. But, like, my runners-up include Borderlands, Shadow of Mordor, a Destiny, Dragon Age Inquisition. Those are big AAA titles. I think they all met or exceeded expectations, but I can't give it to a AAA title. So I think I'm giving my Game of the Year to... It's a toss-up between Hearthstone and Transistor. Like, Hearthstone... was a big AAA title, but it's a very small scope title. But they knocked that thing out of the park. And the fact that you can actually...
It's a game changer, I think.
Yeah. And the fact that you can actually play for free, you don't have to spend money on that game. And I love that concept. But people have thrown millions of dollars.
Yeah. They've made
millions.
Yeah, it's a microtransaction game.
But yeah. You don't need to. That's the thing.
You really don't. Yeah, where a lot of games that are free-to-play, they... heavily encourage you, practically bully you into paying for these microtransactions. But this game doesn't.
That's one of the things I like. It almost goes the opposite and lets you play for free. It gives you ways to earn things so you can continue to play. I haven't spent money since the first week it came out. I spent $12 the first week it came out.
$10 on the game.
And I haven't spent since, and I know other people that have thrown thousands of dollars.
Well, the other thing, though, dude, I think we're a little bit ahead of the curve when it comes to card games. We've been playing all our lives. So maybe we have an easier time, you know? Because, every time you play, you're above. Every time you do an arena, you're doing better than most people.
Well, I think most people that have spent significant money are the ones that want to play in the play mode, not the arena mode. The arena players, you can just kind of roll that over. Assuming you do well enough in the arena.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think most people do.
Yeah.
I think most people come in under 3 wins.
Oh. Well,
I think.
Sucks for them.
Yeah. I mean, we came into this thing. We understand card advantage. We understand, all bunch of stuff. Concepts that new people don't even know about.
Yeah.
But anyway, great game. can't.
And Bobby, you still haven't really played it, have you?
I've played a decent amount of it.
We talked about it for like 3 weeks straight on this podcast.
I know, so. But not. Oh, you were. That's back when you were playing like a priest.
When it first came out, yeah, I played a lot of it, but I didn't really carry on as much as you guys.
And you never played Nax.
You never played the arena.
No, I did. I picked it up again for a little bit when Nax came out. And I did like an instance or two, but really not a whole lot.
Gotcha.
I had fun with it, and it's a great game. Yeah, and I could definitely see that being a game of the year. And I think it's going to spawn more card games too. I think we're going to see a lot of clones.
Yeah, there's a. Like two or three already. There's one in the works for sure. Another one already came out.
Well,
and Magic's always around.
There's several that I've played on Steam that are free to play on Steam, and I haven't liked any of the. They're always too complicated. The cards are like that's what's so great about Hearthstone. It's complicated in the complexity on the board, not on the complexity on the card.
Yeah.
And most games don't understand that. Like they want to put all this kind of junk on the card. And then by the time you get 8 cards out, you can't understand what's going on. There's just too much there.
Yep. The complexity comes on its own eventually. Like the game itself is so simple, but you know the complexity is going to be there, and the depth, and it's got everything in spades. I can't say one bad thing about Hearthstone, honestly.
Yeah, honestly, I agree. And and they're coming out with expansions in a timely manner.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
At this point, they'd be stupid not to.
There's definitely going to be some replay value there. Even if you if it's something that you play a lot, there's going to be more content. Eventually, you can count on it.
I'm just wondering, like, Magic does a strategy where, for modern play, it's the current base game plus the previous three expansion packs.
Oh, right.
So cards fall out of, of play. I'm wondering how Hearthstone is going to handle that.
Yeah, it's weird.
Because they're already at 400, 500 cards.
Yeah. You know? Well, the larger your library, the more possibilities that there are, which makes it the whole, these five decks are the decks, you know, the whole, like, hierarchy kind of falls apart if you, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's good.
But
I think so.
But in order to play well, you need to know what possible moves could come up.
Right.
And when you get to so many cards, you lose that ability because there's just too many possibilities.
Right, but that's not a bad thing, I don't think.
I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
How awesome would it be if a deck that nobody's seen wins the whole thing? You know what I mean? That'd
yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
It won't ever happen, but...
And then my other game was Transistor, and these guys do it so well. So this is the company that made Bastion. Do you guys know the company name?
No.
No, not off the top of my head.
Okay. I'll be next week. Get that for us.
We'll get it in post.
But what they did in Bastion, they perfected, I thought, in Transistor. Like, the story, the narrative, just the ambiance, the feel of it, the graphics are just amazing. And then on top of it, you've got this really interesting gameplay where you can pause time and create your moves. And it's got this kind of medieval slash futuristic kind of feel to it, because you're wielding a sword that does all sorts of, like, tech moves.
Like cyberpunk?
Yeah, and so it's got this narrative, and you're trying to figure out what's going on, and you're put in this cool world, and there's all these kind of things that just appear, and it just pulls you more and more into this game, and everything about it. I just felt cool playing this game.
Did you finish it?
No.
No. You're not.
But I need to. Like, it's one of those... That's, like... Everything else in this podcast, you know, you start playing something, you love it, but you got to move to something next week.
We're going to have to start talking about time, man. I think half our podcast we're talking about, like, how we don't have time for shit.
It's a good thing to be in that situation.
No, for sure.
But
I don't know, man. I cannot let a game go like that. I have to finish a game. There's only one game I can think of that I haven't finished that I stopped playing, and that actually came up a few days ago when I was talking to our buddy Sites. He recently started playing a game called Dragon Commander, and he was asking me about it, like, you know, like, what, you know, like, looking for pointers, and I was like, dude, I can't help you. I stopped playing that game after an hour, hour and a half, and I never do that. That's how, I don't want to say this game was bad, but I didn't like where it was going. I didn't like what it was asking of me. It was difficult, but in the wrong kind of way, so I just gave up, and I never do that on games. Like, I'll stick it through. I'm in a game right now, we'll get to it later, that I'm really not enjoying, but I'm going to play through it.
I don't know, man.
Games are too time intensive to do that to me.
There's so much better stuff out there, you know?
Yeah. Too much to get through.
And then
how much time did you spend on Deep Cox 9 or whatever it was?
Space DF9?
Yeah,
What did I spend on that? 8 or 9 hours?
Yeah. Come on, man.
Yeah.
That's not long for a game, though. That really isn't.
All right.
And then I just want to throw a quick, like,
a shout out,
honorable mention. Child of Light came out of nowhere for me. Like, a studio I didn't know of, and it just looked cool, so I got it. And then you started playing the game and realized the game is a lot of fun. And so if I was to call my most surprising game, I'd probably say Child of Light or Valiant Hearts. Valiant Hearts was another game that...
Both from the same studio.
Both from the same studio.
Ubisoft.
I want you to go back and listen to the episode where you reviewed that game.
Valiant Hearts?
Yeah, and all you just shat on it the whole time, pretty much. Now that it's the cool thing to like it...
I guess,
I don't know. I think when we initially play games, we're a little more critical of it. And then when we look back... Whenever I beat a game, I'm always a lot more nicer to it. than I am when I'm actually in the middle of it. Supergiant was the name of the developer.
Yes, that that's right, Supergiant.
Bastion.
Okay. I mean, it took 15 minutes.
Yeah.
No, but I'm glad somebody was on it, because I didn't.
Yeah.
All right, so who's up next?
Bobby, you want to go?
I don't know. Why don't you go first? Because I have a feeling ours might overlap some, and I'll cover whatever you don't get.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to... Okay, so I'm just going to get right into it. My game of the year for 2014 is Wolfenstein.
Gosh, I need to play that game.
So good. I mean, I think I talked about it in depth one week, but for those who didn't hear... okay, so you're a dude that's going on... you're going against an entire Nazi army. Not only is it a Nazi army, but they've already taken over the world. And it sounds ridiculous. One dude versus like an entire fucking army. But somehow they just made that ridiculous fucking concept work. Like, you get knocked out. You sleep for 50 years. Then you're, or whatever it was, you're like, how long was it? Well,
It was a long time. It was like 15 years.
Yeah. And then, you know, he's sick and he all of a sudden just decides to stand up and start kicking ass one day, right? All of these things sound ridiculous. They make it work. They make, somehow you love the characters. I don't think enough attention was shed on the off characters here. They all had a little backstory. There's the retard with the,
I don't think you can call him that.
It's a mentally handicapped guy with half a head.
Yeah, he was retarded, too. And, all the characters had character, if you will. Mm-hmm. And they didn't seem, like, overdone. And I hate to use Hollywood catchphrases here, but it's a gritty game, but it's also action-packed. I mean, it's got everything. I loved it. I loved the whole thing.
It didn't have a multiplayer, right?
No.
Which
some people complain about, but that's who would play the multiplayer anyway?
Yeah.
And this goes back to what I'm saying. Being in the development side of gaming, you realize how much time and effort is spent in multiplayer. Mm. Like, if you can take all that and devote that wholly to single player, like, you can come up with these awesome games like this game did.
Yeah. Yeah, I love Wolfenstein too. It was just such a polished experience. I love the boss fights. I love first-person shooters in Wolfenstein. But yeah, the characters felt fleshed out. They felt like they contributed to the story. The story was pretty good, and it rode that fine line between being realistic and gritty and also being kind of bombastic and playful and a little cartoony. Yeah,
is which it campy at all?
A little bit, I think. Just a tiny bit. It doesn't take itself too seriously.
Exactly. Because the original Wolfenstein, I mean, you look back on that, and it is a little cheesy, but they kind of did a little bit of a nod to the franchise. I don't know. Somehow they made it all work, and that was a very hard thing to do. They got the tone right.
Yeah, and I would say my runner-up, I am having, and this is going to go right into what I've been playing this week as well. Far Cry 4. I think I'll get back into it a little bit more and describe what I've been doing lately. But last week or the week before that, I was like, oh, this is just Far Cry 3 in a different setting. But that is, it's not a bad thing. It's GTA with animals. The animals play such a huge part in this game, way more than it did in Far Cry 3. Like, the animals are always an issue. Always. You're trying to get something done, and like, I think the other day I was trying to do a stealth mission. I had shot arrows in like three dudes' heads. I'm like, oh, I'm halfway done. I almost got this shit. Fucking snake fucking bites me. And my guy's like, oh, fuck. And then the guards turn around and I lost the whole thing. Like, I lost the stealth mission. And was that snake there the whole next time? No. It's just a random snake walking through, you know?
But you could have seen it and killed the snake, and then it wouldn't have. Like,
it was kind of hiding.
Okay.
Yeah, it was like behind the box.
This goes back to something I firmly believe about you. You are all about the present. You're a very immediate person.
Yeah.
So the last game that you're playing, of course, is your game of the year, because that's
not
the last
game of the year.
That's the last game you played.
Which I played at the beginning. But thank you for your contribution.
Yeah.
Wolfenstein was in May, so that was about halfway through the year.
Yeah.
Do you have a most surprising game of the year? Something that came out of nowhere you weren't expecting?
I'm gonna have to give it to Hearthstone as well. I mean, I really
do. Well, that's not much of a surprise, though.
No, I think it was that a card trading game was this one of the biggest games this year. It money making wise, it's probably the biggest game this year. You know, they never reveal how.
Well,
much.
I think Hearthstone had a lot more going on for it than just the game itself. It's a great game of its own, but it's also able to be played on anything, anywhere. It can be streamed on any kind of computer. It's very low maintenance. Yep. Yeah.
Plus the fact that it's got Blizzard's name behind it. Like, you were going to get 30 million people playing it, regardless. It could have been a poop in a box, and that you would have gotten 30 million people. You know, if it had been a small indie developer that had made that game, nobody would be talking about it as game of the year, because part of the reason it's so good is because so many people are playing it.
Yeah. It's one of the perks that they enjoy over there at Blizzard, that they just know that they're going to have this large player base. Yep. So they can do whatever they like. That said, I just sat on your bed and watched you play for like over an hour.
A few times. You jerking off. That was.
Sorry about that part.
Making it weird.
Yeah.
All right, Bobby, your turn.
Okay, so
you think about surprising, because I want a real answer from you.
That's a real answer.
That's not
a trading card game coming out and being the most money-making game of the year. I think that's a big surprise.
I think what we mean by surprising is a game that's not going to show up on any other list, or a game that didn't get a lot of media attention.
I was talking more like it was not on your radar, and then you played it for some reason and were blown away.
Okay.
I think as soon as we heard about this game, though, I think we were excited about it. So, I don't know. My game of the year...
You guys are assholes.
My game of the year, my favorite game of the year, I'm going to pick my words carefully here. My favorite game of the year was Wolfenstein The New Order. And that's for a lot of reasons that don't have to do with the game.
High five? Is a high five in order?
Okay. High five. There it is.
Boom.
But I love Wolfenstein. I love the original game. It was one of my favorite games as a kid. I love first-person shooters. So that alone just put this far beyond a lot of other games for me. And then on top of that, it was a great game. And it could have gone wrong in so many ways. And for a lot of the reasons Emilio already said, it was just an awesome game.
I'm awesome.
So we won't dwell on it too much. But that was my favorite game of the year. But... I think the best game of the year, in my opinion, was Middle-earth Shadows of Mordor. That is the one game that, out of all the ones that I played, I want to go back to the most. I had the most fun playing it. I beat that in a weekend, like 20 hours, weekend, knocked it out, and it was not a chore. Just played through it, did some of the side quests, did the main storyline, had a lot of fun with it, and it's something that I can go back to, because there's a lot more side quests to do, and that's really the fun part. The main quest line is not necessarily the funnest part about that game. There's so much more. The Nemesis system, which is obviously something new and innovative, that brought a whole new light on it. It took some things that really worked, like the combat and kind of the character movement from games like Batman and Assassin's Creed, and then threw in this Nemesis system. It just all came together perfectly and was a major hit.
So there's a free DLC that came out that lets you play as somebody, another character. And if you were going to go back, I mean, you have that ready waiting for you.
Yeah, there's more content. There's a season pass if I really wanted to. I don't even feel like I need it. I don't know if this new character lets you, if it gives you new moves or new abilities, or if it's just a different skin.
I'm not exactly what. I think it's a little more than a different skin, but I don't think it's too, you know, crazy different.
Yeah.
He just seemed like a darker version.
Well, either way, just the standalone game, I could go back to and play more of that. And maybe maybe someday I will. Who knows? But that's what I think is the best game of the year.
Listen, Bobby, we don't have enough time to talk about how we don't have time.
It's true.
Alien Isolation was probably up there, too. I really did enjoy that game.
PC Gamer gave it Game of the Year.
Yeah, and I'm not surprised. They really liked that game. They gave it a very high review. And it's funny how it was so... It got such bad reviews from IGN and some other people, yet PC Gamer loved it. I think it really was a great game. I don't know. Sometimes some people just receive things differently, I guess. But my surprise pick, I had a really good game picked out, and I can't remember what it was. And I'm not even sure if it was released this year, so it's probably for the best. But I will say, one game that did surprise me this year that I keep thinking about and I keep wanting to go back and
Colonial
play.
Colonial Marines.
Nope. That came out last year anyway. But you're never going to see this coming. Any guesses? The one game I wish we all played it together.
Oh, the Yogg?
No.
What was that? Crawl.
No. Oh, you guys are way off, man. Warface.
Oh.
I keep thinking about that game, and I don't know. I had a lot of fun with that game.
It's probably because I was super drunk.
Oh, that was funny, but it was just fun gameplay because it was you and your buddies co-op trying to make it through a level. There were no surprises. You knew when people were going to pop out, but it reminded me of the old days of playing World of Warcraft where you'd go into a dungeon and you would pull a mob and mark it, and everything was strategized and everything was just down to a T, and you had to work together as a team to accomplish these little mini goals to make it to the end of the level and accomplish the overall big goal. And it was that combined with the first-person shooter element, and it was just perfect for me.
Although, what ended up happening for us? I feel like we got to that last level, and we couldn't pass it, and we just stopped playing at that point.
It was hard.
It was really hard.
It was a very challenging game, which is good. I mean, that's kind of the appeal to it as well. It's just like we didn't knock it out, do all the levels, and beat it. And, you know, we played it for a while. We talked about it, and I think we had some criticism of it. And
Unlocks were stupid. They wanted you to spend money.
Yeah.
I would have rather paid $15 for a game, you know, and have it come out.
That you unlocked.
That was a game that I wish microtransactions had not been around.
Yeah.
And that's the negative side of that game was they wanted you to spend money to get these unlocks. It would have been much better if they said, hey, $15-$20, you get the game, and then you just earn XP as you go through this to unlock new guns or abilities.
They had a weird system where
It didn't quite make sense.
You make like these tokens, and then you use the tokens to rent weapons.
Yeah. Which a lot of games do. Nosgoth did the same thing. You can't actually buy an item, but it's ridiculously expensive. But you can rent it for a week, which is a lot cheaper. So this whole idea, and that's to keep you coming back and paying and playing more.
Yeah.
Which I totally don't agree with. But regardless, the gameplay was great in that game. And I keep thinking about that. I have left it installed on my computer, even though I've been cleaning out my library, uninstalling a lot of games. I'm just like, one of these days, I'm going back to that. But it's not going to be any fun without people to play with. Yeah. That is definitely co-op game.
But like, when are we ever... We never... That's one of the biggest problems with this podcast. Is like, you play at a certain time, he plays at a certain time, I play at a certain time. Yeah. Well, no. We play at the same time, but he's playing fucking WoW. Killing the same monsters he's killed.
I am off for 2 weeks. However, Chad's going to be gone for 2 weeks, so that's going to make it difficult.
Yeah.
I'll be playing WoW up there, though, so it's all good.
Awesome. Can't wait for that.
Yeah.
Breaking news from the front lines of video gaming. WoW, 10 years old. Yeah, you give me shit because fucking Skyrim's 3 years old, and you're playing a 10-year-old game.
But how many updates has WoW got?
Yeah.
Less than Skyrim.
So while we're on this topic, are there any flops this year? Any games that you're like, this is going to be great, and then just completely disappointed? I guess I don't want to say the worst, because it's different if a game comes out and you're like, oh, that we know that's going to be terrible, and then it is terrible. I'm talking about your surprise flops.
I thought Titanfall was going to be much bigger and better than the reception Titanfall. It got, but I never played Titanfall.
You never played it, so...
Just off the top of my head... I was just surprised by how bad the...
I mean, I've never played it. I have no idea what the game's like.
I think he's really talking about is like what people thought was going to happen and then what happened.
I understand what you're saying. Yeah. I'm just thinking out loud.
Okay.
That's all.
So you're just doing that. I did play Titanfall, and there was a lot of hype behind it. It maybe didn't live up to all of it, but I don't know if it would be a huge flop. It was still a pretty fun game. But I don't know. Anything you got, Emilio?
Yeah, sure, man. Dragon Age Inquisition, man. I like it.
Really?
Dude.
Game of the year for the VGA.
Okay, so I get to hour 3, and I'm like, when is this going to get fun? How many hours? I know that there's fun somewhere, but how many hours do you want me to put in before? I was pretty... I'm getting fired up here.
Yeah.
Because it was my most anticipated game.
Wow.
I played it on PlayStation, and I was like, oh, these graphics sucks, but... They don't suck. They're not ideal. I guess I just don't like... Everything's ultra shiny. Like, any kind of, like... Everybody has sequins, and the sequins are super, like...
Bloom.
Yes. Is it, like, lens flare, or is it, like, that thing that makes it look wet, almost?
Yes. Okay. It's the wet.
Yeah.
And it's people's... It looks good when it's in people's eye, and you just use it a little bit, but we're talking half of characters are just gleaming, right? So I'm like, oh, fucking, this is why I'm a PC gamer, fucking... PlayStation suck. Start playing it on my PC, same shit. The graphics look flat. I don't know how to explain. There's no depth to the characters. Everybody looks ugly, which is fine if they look real, but they look fake and ugly, which is, I don't know, if you're going to go for photorealism. Hmm. Anyway, so I'm playing and playing and playing.
Did you get through the intro?
Yeah, well, I'm in the hinterlands.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I've heard the tutorial, not necessarily the tutorial phase of this, but there's a beginning part of this game that takes a long time to get through, and then there's it kind of shifts gears.
Yeah.
So I don't know, maybe you're still in that first area.
It gets 1,000 times better.
But here's the thing. How long do you want me to play before I get to the better?
So
I think it shouldn't a game just be fun?
So this game is Mass Effect 3.
Okay.
But they're building up to where you have to save the universe by doing all these things.
Right.
And you're not yet to the... Like, have you gotten to the battle board yet, or the war room yet?
No.
And started sending your guys on missions? Like, there's a whole... Like, you haven't even gotten to the game yet.
I see what you're saying. But I like Mass Effect 3 from minute one.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
True.
So, I think that's... Maybe it is the game of the year. And maybe... I'll come back next week and say, like, oh, I fucked up. This game is amazing. But there is a certain amount of make this game fun at the beginning.
Yeah.
Please.
Needs more smaller rewards. It is a long game, though. I've heard that game is like 40 to 60 hours.
Yeah.
Which is...
Long.
Long. Like, even for an RPG.
That's, I love RPGs. I mean, this is right up my alley, but...
I don't know. I've not played the game. I don't know when I'm going to get to it. Not played a single Dragon Age game.
So, how about you, Bobby?
My biggest flop of the year? If I spent more time thinking about it, I could probably come up with a better one.
Not Space Cock 9. What was it?
Deep Space Cock 9.
Yeah, that was 9. It. Nailed it. But that game was not overhyped in any way.
Yeah, nobody even knew it existed.
Yeah. Very few people did.
Well, that was a Double Fine game. Double Fine, right?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But Double Fine's got a lot of games these days. I'm going to say The Forest. Mm. There was a lot of buzz about that game. Mm-hmm. Pretty significant. You know, it was up on the top selling list. Maybe even that dinosaur one, the Stomping Land, could be considered the same, but I didn't play that. But The Forest, there's so much buzz around it, a lot of hype, and I think a lot of these... I've had a problem with a lot of these early access games this mm-hmm. year, just coming out, making a big splash, and then just fizzling away into nothing. And it's a game that I spent 5 hours on. I went back to it to check it out a little bit to see if it was any different or any better, and not so much. So I don't know. That could be it, or maybe I could give it to Broken Age for not coming out with their second act like they said they would.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
I saw that on like a Game of the Year list, like just like I mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, apparently they're not mad at not having the second half of the game.
Yeah, it's like nobody's talking
like
about
one
it.
Shoe.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
You know, during the Video Game Awards or the Game Awards they had this year, they did have a small teaser trailer of Broken Age. It was about halfway through the show, and it was Elijah Wood's character and his little robot, the grabby robot. And the grabby robot said something, and then Elijah Wood's character said, sometimes the second half is worth the wait. And he was kind of saying that about the show because it was halfway through the show.
Oh, I see.
But in a way, they were
kind of
talking about the game itself. So I don't know if that means it's actually coming out or what the hell is happening, but it's just, there's like no news on it.
Yeah, that pretty much says they're about to come out with it, right? I mean, that's what I heard.
Yeah.
Right? Or are they really quiet about...
Originally, the second half was supposed to be out in April. That was 8 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
I got another one for my... This might actually be my favorite game of the year.
You could tell we put a lot of work into this.
Well, yes. Endless Legend. Completely forgot about it, but... Yeah. Came out of nowhere, like new developer, nailed it out of the park.
Yeah,
like it's got to be my surprise of the year.
Because an unknown developer coming out with something that polished.
Yeah, it knocked it out of the park. If you like RTS, what is that considered? RTS?
Yeah, RTS.
Is that RTS?
No. Real time.
Turn-based.
Yeah.
Strategy.
Turn-based 4X. Yeah.
If you like that style, you got to get Endless Legend. Put Civ down. Yep. Pick up Endless Legend. Give it a go. You will not be disappointed.
I talked about this before. It's like, how the fuck did this unknown developer come out with a far more polished product than Civ? Civ is like the...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's the Microsoft and it of these kind of games. And it's not clunky, but it's not as smooth and pretty as Endless Legend. Bobby, do you own it?
Yes. Haven't played it yet, though.
Just put it on easy and just
You're
play.
You're putting 9 hours into Deep Cock 9 and you don't play Endless Legend?
We're not going to let you down.
What the fuck?
Well, it's because a lot of these games like Endless Legend or Dragon Age Inquisition, when you tell me a game's 40 to 60 hours, that really deters me from playing.
No, it's not, though. But it's like a Civ game. You know, you play one game in about 2 hours?
Well, it depends. You can set up the board how you want.
So there isn't a single-player mode that has, like, a story?
No. A campaign?
No.
Hmm. You a campaign?
No. You just go and you put your map down.
That's weird.
Yeah. I got my big surprise of the year. I had seen everybody buying Rust, and I was like, oh, man, here's another DayZ. And then I saw people uploading videos, lots and lots and lots of videos, and I'm like, this looks
a lot
like,
of cock just swinging in the
this
breeze.
This looks like, well, that's initially why I bought it.
Yeah.
Ooh, and, more
and,
cock?
And now, isn't it like the default setting?
Is there a...
You're running around with it?
Who is that?
I think it's now like the default look.
Yeah, yeah. For the new one. My single greatest gaming experience this year was playing Rust with my friends and fighting those fucking Korean people. Like, there's a Korean gang, and then there was our gang, and then we ran into each other, and we had the fucking most epic battle. It's not like, I think I talked about this back when it happened. It's not like fucking Battlefield or something where you expect the enemies to be right there.
Yeah.
What you're doing is trying to live your life. And those guys are trying to live their life. But unfortunately, your lives don't felicitate each other. Yeah. Only one of you is going to get the wood.
Yeah.
And we had a nighttime fight. And you could see the muzzle flashes, and you don't know, like it would be in real life, you don't know who's on whose team. It's all chaotic. All I had was a shotgun. I'm flanking around trees. I came to this realization. The best thing you could do in any game ever is flank somebody with shotguns. Because what are they going to do? Their backs are turned. And you just shove this thing up their ass and you kill them in one shot. Oh, it's so good. It's so good. And and then we were all buzzing afterwards. We were talking. It was like, we're so excited. Oh, we're going to do this. Oh, we're going to build this space over here. It was like 2 a.m. None of this shit's going to happen.
Yeah.
But we wanted more. It was electric, dude. And I hadn't felt like that in years and years and years. And we all just said, like, that was something special, what just happened. It was really cool.
Rust has the potential for great fun.
Mm-hmm.
The potential.
But you have to wait. You have to wait so long.
It's not even like if you just wait and it's eventually going to happen. You could wait and it doesn't happen.
Yeah, that's true.
And you come back and play the next night and it doesn't happen again. It has the potential for great fun, but there is no guarantee you're going to have fun with that game.
I mean, where else is this going to happen? We're trying to break into the enemy's base. So one of our guys went in and then they ran up and put a fucking roof on their building. Our guy was trapped in their house. He couldn't get out. And we were trying to figure out how to get him out of there. And they were spawning in there. So they were like torturing him, like shooting him. It was crazy, man. It's just so much fun.
That game, your story makes me think about how I think in this day and age, there's too much UI going on. Like, if you play Battlefield, if you scope in on somebody, you get their, like, name and, like, their health. Like, one of the pure things about that is you didn't know who's a friendly or who's an enemy. Yeah. Like, no first-person shooter that I know of does that, where you can't see even your friends' names.
We had to, there's a couple things you can do, and this is just, like, the game didn't think about this. We thought about this. One, jump. Everybody jump. You know who's on your team. Two, dress the same. We had a certain kind of pants. We had a gang. Mm-hmm. And that's just how it gets real tribal real quick.
Well, there's another game that does that too, Insurgency.
That's true.
You don't have that was you can't really identify your too. Teammates as opposed to your enemies. And yeah, so some games have taken a step back like that and gotten rid of a lot of the UI, and it changes the game. I don't know if it's necessarily a good thing or a bad thing. It's just something different.
What I really enjoyed about Insurgency is you don't know when you killed somebody. So
yeah.
You shot him and he fell behind the thing, but you don't know if he's dead. So not only do you need to move on to the next person, you need to also keep an eye on, because you don't know if he's dead.
Yeah.
You can, I think you can't even check your score until the round's over. So you don't know. It's really good.
The minimalist idea of Insurgency really paid off well, I think.
It was a good game.
Yeah. We didn't play that game enough.
No, we didn't.
Another game we didn't play enough.
Yeah.
All right, so let's recap here. Game of the year was Wolfenstein, sort of Shadows of Mordor. Chad, what was yours? Hearthstone?
Transistor, probably.
Transistor, okay.
But Endless Legend is, it might be Endless Legend. I love that game.
Can't make up our minds.
Yeah.
Well, so if we're going to give the DL Gaming Game of the Year, I think it's going to have to go to Wolfenstein, right? Because two of us...
It's got the most votes.
I guess that means I should play it then.
it didn't help. It totally helped that I played it for free off of Bobby's account, too.
Yeah,
that game is going for $20 on the Steam sale currently. Probably won't be by the time this episode comes out, but things always cycle through and come back. So, yeah. Cool. $20 for that game? Shit, pick it up.
All right.
In a little bit.
Okay.
All right, we got some more time. Well, let's move into what we're playing. Chad, you want to start off with what you've been playing?
Let's just get into Borderlands, yeah?
Yeah.
We shared.
Did you guys finally beat it?
Yeah, we beat it. We talked about it.
We talked last week, but we went in Vault Hunter. What is it called?
Well, we're in Vault Hunter mode now, which is the harder version, and you get to continue your character. A couple things that I liked what they did is now they have new narrators. So the whole story of this Borderlands is somebody's telling the story of what happened, right? But now two new people are listening to the story, and they're putting into two...
Oh, that's why...
So Tiny Tina...
I didn't realize that.
And I forget what... Brick? I think
Brick, yeah.
Yeah. Tiny Tina and Brick are listening to the story, and they're putting in their two cents as it's going on. So it keeps it a little more fresh, especially since Tiny Tina is hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's worth playing Vault Hunter mode already for some of the things she said.
Yeah. And probably the second worst thing about this Borderlands is that... The comedy just wasn't there. It was not Borderlands 2. It's just not funny. Hmm. But Tiny Tina kind of brings it home this time, and she makes it's better. Anyway, so we start playing, and Chad's like, this isn't any harder at all. And I was like, I think it's because we're at the beginning of the game.
Well, preface this by saying we were going to just run through the game.
Yeah, okay. So what we did in the last one is just fuck all the side missions. Let's just go, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we tried doing it this time, and... we'll put the video up with this. It did not work out.
Yeah.
Not even close. We couldn't even take basic minions.
They're like three levels above us.
So do they force you to do the side quests so you can level up a little
bit? Pretty much, yeah. Hmm. I mean, I guess you could farm if you wanted to, but there's no
that would take forever.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's fun. I'm having a good time with it.
So I still can't find a weapon that I like.
Is Vault Hunter mode like the second playthrough where it's just on hard?
Hard mode.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, okay. So like other Borderlands have done.
Yeah. I do want to mention, quick mention, shout out to the respecking. I've never done a respec that was so completely changing my character and gameplay as I did with the Enforcer. His name is Wilhelm.
Wilhelm, yeah.
So I was sniper. And I was heavily into my my ability. So I set myself up to do damage from far away and kind of like support Chad while he was up in the mix doing whatever he does. And
except I have a terrible character to do that.
Yeah, Claptrap is not good.
Yeah.
And then so I saw that Chad was not having fun. So I switched over to a more assault type thing. And okay,
the cybernetics.
Right? So now I'm more robotic. That's the thing. That's the story they're going with. You know, you have cybernetic legs. Anyway, his voice changed. He sounds like a robot now. Because he has all these cybernetic things. I didn't see that coming. I get superpowered when I get beat up. So it's just like you go in there and you're rewarded for playing stupidly.
And then, so you're a brawler type.
Yeah. But all my shit turns on when I get killed. So I go in there, I get killed, And then I fight my way back, and then I just go apeshit. Like, got cannons on my shoulders. It's so much fun. I was telling Chad over and over, I was like, dude, I'm having so much fun. I'm so glad that I respect.
Yeah. And I'm glad too, because I went one route with Frag Trap. Isn't it Frag Trap?
Frag Trap, yeah. That's new.
And I had the like disco ball that you got close and damaged people with laser beams that got close. And it was cool and all, but like he's so weak. Like, he just dies, and when he dies, you lose your super. So now I went on the other route, and one of the supers I got...
It's awesome. It's the best one in all of Borderlands history. It's the best one ever.
It plays the 1812 Overture. The one with the cannon fire.
Yeah.
And he has four cannons that come out, and they shoot off in time to it. And then at the end, it shoots all four, and I just... You own people.
The crescendo.
Yeah.
The crescendo. Like, during the cannons are shooting to the rhythm, and then the crescendo, it's just like...
And he can hear the...
Yeah, and I'm like... Like, it's awesome, man.
Yeah. So, we'll put video up of this super. But, so, if you do play Flat Frag Trap, I highly recommend the left... I don't even know what it's called.
I don't know what
the left skill tree.
The left skill tree.
Yeah. Wow. I almost bought Borderlands the other day. It was on sale for $29.99. Half price. Hasn't been out that long. But this is what stopped me. You guys have already gone through it. You're probably not going to be playing it too much more. I'll have no one to play with.
Sorry.
I'll have no one to play with. And I know this game's going to be on sale for like $5 or $10 with all the DLC too long. Yeah. So it's just like, I might as well wait it out. You know, when there's a resurgence of this game, I'll catch that wave.
You know, if we were all going to play something, I would rather play Borderlands 2 with you guys, I think, than this. It's just a better game.
Yeah.
But I'm still having fun. I'm definitely going to finish this second play.
And I've never played Borderlands 2, so if you wanted to play sometime.
Yeah, I would.
That was a good one. I haven't gone through all the... I made it halfway through the first DLC on that.
I like that DLC, that first one. Then I beat the second one.
Was that the pirate one?
Yeah, the pirate one.
Yeah.
The third one, I got just bored. I was like, oh.
Well, the Tiny Tina DLC was supposed to be the best, but that was like the last one released.
Yeah, and it wasn't in the season pass.
Yeah. That's what pissed me off,
something in the season pass. That's just fucked up. Yeah. That's rude.
They didn't put that in the season pass. The two best things they didn't put in the season pass, the Tiny Tina DLC and the Mecha, or whatever the new character was that came out.
There's like four new characters.
Well, now there is, but the first new character they never put in there. And I don't think they put any of the other ones in,
too. There's a, you know, the, what are they called? The guys that you're killing all the times that wear the masks. I don't know what they're called. Berserkers or whatever they're called. They have knives. Anyway, you can play as one of them.
I think they might be Berserkers. I can't remember the name.
Yeah.
All right. How about you, Bobby?
Let's see. I've been playing a game that I'm not quite enjoying. Randall's Monday. Point-and-click adventure game.
Oh, I saw this one.
Yeah, it just came out recently. It's by Datalic, the same people who made Deponia, Edna, and Harvey. They've done a lot of point-and-click adventures. I think they're out in Germany. A lot of the same issues with this game that I had with Deponia. The puzzles don't make any sense. Even though I know this time going into it that I can press spacebar or middle mouse and see all the interactable icons or items in whatever space I'm in. It takes place in modern day. You're this guy who wakes up and he's repeating every Monday, kind of like Groundhog's Day. And you have to find this ring to stop it. But the changes that you make on one day carry over to the next day. And you repeat the same day, but it's like the thing that you changed had always been like that. I'm only halfway through this game. Let me preface by saying that. Maybe it'll turn around, but I doubt it.
It's an interesting concept. I like the concept.
Yeah, but it doesn't have that grand scale that Deponia did. Deponia was like your typical save the world kind of deal, and this seems a little, I don't know. It doesn't seem like it's really that exciting.
The video makes it Leisure Suit Larry-ish a little bit.
Oh, yeah, definitely. They definitely play to the comedy, and that's one good thing about this game. It has got a reference to everything. Anything in nerd culture is referenced in this game. There's things from Star Trek, Star Wars, Futurama, like whatever you could think of, comic book heroes. Anything that a nerd might be into is in this game, and it's either referenced in dialogue or as an object somewhere in there. There's a proton pack. They even had a reference to Braindead, which I was like, okay, now that's obscure. That's a that's a movie that came out in the early 90s that was released in the United States as Dead Alive. Did you guys ever see it?
Yeah, it's Peter Jackson.
Before he was making
really cheesy.
Yeah. Well, it's a classic gonzo gore flick, but it's so funny that Peter Jackson did that because he went on to do Lord of the Rings, King Kong, these big epic blockbusters. But before all that, he's making these raunchy gore movies. But
it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
He's a good director.
Yeah, they even had...
Not at that time, he wasn't.
Dude, people love that movie.
No, that's a classic movie.
I couldn't stand it.
Well, it's... I think there's a... I don't want to get too off topic, but I think it was kind of received differently out here because it takes place in New Zealand with New Zealand actors and things are different out there. But
I don't want to get off topic. Groundhog Day. Was the goal... His goal was getting laid, right?
No, his goal was getting falling in love.
I don't think so. His goal was just...
Bang the chick in one day, right?
Because he banged that other chick. No, his goal was just to be a good person, to stop being such a dick. He had to make that character arc.
Yeah, but it didn't stop until she fell in love with him.
Yeah, because he actually almost seduced her one night, and then she got mad and, like, walked out. And then when she fell in love with him, not because he tricked her, but because he was genuinely a good guy. So it was really about himself developing, but... Yeah, that's a good movie, too.
I was hoping that the game that you were talking about, like, that was the goal. Bend the chick.
I don't know if it is yet. I don't know.
No, you said it's a ring, right?
A ring, yeah.
How do you know that they told you that you have to find the ring?
You probably talked to a scientist.
At the very beginning, you steal a ring from your buddy who's about to propose to, or who is engaged to his girlfriend, and he drops his wallet while he's really drunk, and you steal it, and the ring is cursed, and it starts all this shit, and this bum keeps giving you hints. There's a reference to Jay and Silent Bob in there too, and actually I looked it up. Jason Mewes, actually voices that character. They actually got the real guy. I mean, what's he doing anyway?
But, seriously.
But, you know, it's kind of I feel like I want to talk like he's going to listen, but because I listened to Kevin Smith's podcast, and he brings Jason in for a couple here and there. He just sounds terrible, man. He just sounds like washed up. He had a lot of things with drugs and stuff. He had a rough life, so.
Yeah. Bummer. I mean, I'm not a huge Kevin Smith fan, but that was cool. So the game...
How much was the game, by the way?
Well, here's the kicker. This game's going for $24.99. I think it was on sale for like $20. Definitely not worth it. Mm. Definitely not.
So plus, going off of Deponia, like, I thought you would know not to, you know, get yourself
involved. He liked Deponia, though.
When I finished the game, like I said earlier in the podcast,
hell with this guy, man.
Yeah.
Well, like I said earlier in the podcast, when I finish something, I tend to like it more. So when I finished Deponia, I'm like, that wasn't that bad. But I really feel that some of the puzzles are unfair, and I'm on day 3 out of 9, and I'm about 8 hours into the game. It's going to take me 20 hours to beat this game. It doesn't take that long to get through the game, but just to figure out these puzzles. Mm. And there's no figuring it out. It's just randomly trying stuff. Yeah, because everything's just so random. It's just like, you know, you combine these two items to make something else, and there's no way that you could figure that out.
Are they foreign or something? Or
I think the developer's in Germany. I think Data looks German.
Yeah, maybe it makes sense over there.
I don't know.
Culturally.
I don't know if it's... I think this is a ubiquitous thing, this problem with the game. It's just, you got to make these puzzles, they got to make sense, and you have to be able to logically figure stuff out. If you just make stuff, like if you can combine a platypus and a coat hanger to make like a ray gun, then like, yeah, that's quirky and weird, but it doesn't make any sense, and how are you supposed to figure that out? Mm-hmm. You have to go through your inventory and just click here, click there, click there.
That's annoying. I would not put up with that, dude.
Yeah.
Well, or you can just look up the walkthrough and bust through it. They do have a hint system, and I haven't used it yet, but I'm about to. There's an achievement for beating the game without one. I'm going for it, but I don't know if I'm going to make it.
Wow.
But you and your achievements. Dude, we were playing Colonial Marines, and I know for goddamn sure, I'm never playing this hunk of shit again. And he's trying to do achievements. Like, nope, now I got to do this. We're on the last level right before the... And he's like, still trying to do achievements. And I was like... Why the fuck?
I don't know. Achievements are terrible, and I'm stupid for following them. But yeah, I was dying like several times because I was running, trying to melee like 10 people to death. And you cannot melee people.
Melee aliens, dude. Yeah. Like the one thing that Marines have are guns. That's the best thing. And you're supposed to go punch them?
You seriously have to melee them like 20 times.
Yeah. Well, like, we were playing on hard.
I'm not even exaggerating. It might even be more than 20 to kill these guys. But yeah, it was ridiculous. But no, I go for the achievements. I don't even know why.
I guess we have to address the elephant that just left the room.
It's not as funny the second time.
Yeah. Well, they weren't here for that, Bobby. Anyway, so Chad had to take off. Honestly, even if he stayed, I think he would have died. This sickness. I've been sick since... I don't get sick. I haven't been sick in 4 years. I've been sick since Thanksgiving, dude. And so we call this sickness the chick because she won't leave. So
the clinger.
Yeah, he's getting worse. He thinks he's getting better.
I know. He was worse this week than he was last week. He's going to get on a plane with that?
Yeah, it's a motherfucker.
Oh, wow.
This is a motherfucker. That's just rude, isn't it?
Yeah, he's going to be hacking up. That's worse than bringing a kid onto a plane.
Yeah.
No.
Anyway, Chad sucks, so here we go. God damn am I having fun with Far Cry 4. God damn am I having fun. I'm going to be uploading a bunch of... I already did. If you want to see what I've been doing and how fun this shit looks. Bobby, I was hunting rhinos while on an elephant's back, shooting arrows into this thing while the rhino is chasing down a car to kill the people in it. I'm chasing behind it. It's so much fucking fun, man.
This is the game at the top of my wish list right now. I really want to get... This is the one that I'm hoping goes on sale for a significant amount. They put Assassin's Creed Unity on sale, $40 for that game. Not buying it. If that was Far Cry 4, would have bought it already.
Do you think it's going to be put on sale? I don't think it's going to make it.
I don't know. See, the funny thing is, if a game does really well, gets good reviews, and a lot of people buy it, it doesn't go on sale. If it gets terrible reviews, nobody's buying it, then it goes on sale to try to generate sales. But I figure at some point, during this holiday sale, it's got to be reduced a little bit. I don't know.
We'll see. Maybe $5 or something. Is it on your wish list so you're alerted when it goes on sale?
I don't know if it actually is or not.
I don't think you have to. How often are you checking?
The wish list? Fairly often. They do a pretty good job with the new Steam. Oh, the sales?
Yeah.
Oh, I check them all the time.
Yeah, like...
So, yeah, I'd know.
How many times a day, probably? Be honest.
Oh, all the time. I mean, if I'm at a computer, yeah. I mean, they change every day at 10 a.m., so I know when 10 a.m. comes, boom, you know, what's new.
Are they doing the whole flash sale and all that stuff?
They're doing 12-hour sales. Wow. Not necessarily a flash sale, but yeah, there's a community choice that you get to pick. And then there's a flash sale where it's like 6 games that are heavily deducted. And then they have their 2-day sales, which are pretty good deals, but not the best that you can get. So again, you're going to want to wait until the flash or the 12-hour sale happens. And then if it doesn't, just buy your games at the end of the 2 weeks.
Do you own Hack and Slash?
Yeah, I do.
Interesting concept, I guess. I guess you're supposed to like kind of write code in it or like experiment with coding.
Yeah, and that's a Double Fine game too. Yeah, that game, I don't know. I really don't know how people have received that, if it's good or bad, but
it's
really cheap.
It's like under $5. So.
Yeah, that was actually the community choice recently.
Yeah,
so
that's
why
it was
like $4 or $5.
Anyway, let me get more into Far Cry. So it's a very, it's a valley. It's a set of valleys. And so everything is just vertical, you know. And if you need to get somewhere, even though as the crow flies, it's not very far, it takes you a long time to get there because you need to go down the valley and then up the other side. Mm-hmm. So these are little tiny personal helicopters. I don't even know what they're called. I don't think they're called personal helicopters, but basically what it is, right? You just sit in the thing. It's like a bicycle, basically. Like an electric bicycle, and it flies. Anyway, there's duct tape on it. It looks ridiculous, right?
It sounds like a crazy invention. Like,
yeah, well, they really
by
exist.
Some I've weird seen, gadget, man.
Yeah, it's weird. Anyway, it's a game breaker, not a game breaker, but you need one of these to get around. It's just the best way to do anything. And not only is it great for getting around, it's great for fucking killing shit. I'm going to keep bringing up rhinos because I was trying to hunt rhinos and I died four times trying. They're fucking tough, dude. You could be driving a car, they'll ram your car and you'll just go flipping through, and then they'll continue to attack your car while you're in it. They're motherfuckers. It
takes Why are you trying to kill rhinos? For their pelts or something?
Yeah, so, you know, just like...
just like the third one, you got to collect certain skins to make certain
exactly,
things.
Exactly, yeah. Okay. And they're really strong. I kept having bad luck. It takes like 7 grenades to kill a rhino. It's a motherfucker. Anyway, so I'm flying around on this little gyro flyer thing and dropping grenades on these things, and they're running, and it's kind of like they're running as a pack and I'm chasing them. God damn. And there's just a smile on my face like a little kid, dude. I'm having so much fun. I'll also put up a video of me taking down one of the outposts with an elephant. Elephants grabbing people by the leg, fucking flipping them through the air. You can charge them. You're pretty safe up there, too. I think the elephant takes most of the damage. And again, I have a grenade launcher. Just think, I mean, I'm saying these things, but imagine if you're somebody who gets immersed in things, which I do. Mm-hmm. I'm on an elephant and I'm throwing, I have a grenade launcher. What the fuck? It's so much fun. The guy on the radio, he's pretty funny. I like him. He has a good personality. Kind of like, what was it, Laszlo, I think, in the Vice City?
In Vice City?
Yeah. All the Grand Theft Autos, there's a guy named Laszlo who's basically Howard Stern. And I always found him infinitely entertaining.
Yeah.
This guy's up there.
I didn't know that that was a recurring thing. I've only played one Grand Theft Auto game.
Yeah.
So I didn't
know. He was
in
more than one.
Huh.
Oh, anyway.
Well, I think what helps out all this, too, is the graphics. I mean, this wouldn't be... You know, dropping bombs on rhinos, you could do that in a pixelated game and it wouldn't be nearly as fun.
Yes.
You know, the graphics make this a lot more realistic and enjoyable.
Absolutely, yep.
Yeah.
What else can I speak on? I really like the characters. There was a joke in this game that was so good, I retold it last night a couple times at the party. So there's this like real like boisterous American dude who's just like fucking... grenades, fuck yeah, kind of guy, America kind of guy. And you go and do a fist bumps with him and he goes, right, like you always do, but you don't. So he goes, I go french fries and you stay potato, that's cool. And I was like that's awesome. But I'm enjoying it so much. This whole time I'm trying to like keep talking about it because I have so much cool video of all these cool things that happen. Like I said, the animals are a huge part. It's like half the game. The animals are just...
I feel like that was a popular thing in 3, but they made the mechanic way more important in 4. Made that more part of the game because people like that.
Yeah, you go to the Himalayas as well, and it's kind of like an instance. It's not in the regular map, and there's an oxygen. You have to have oxygen up there, and you have to like kill guys and take their oxygen masks to stay alive. It's almost like a different game. It turned into kind of like a military shooter at that point, where it's kind of like a Call of Duty.
Yeah, it sounds a lot more like Metro Last Light, where you'd have to constantly worry about your oxygen levels and harvest that off of.
And so that part of the game is linear. It's not open world. There's definitely a path, but it's not a clear cut path, and you kind of have to figure out how to traverse these really rocky, snowy cliffs. And it's the first time where I've had trouble with the opposition. There's just so many soldiers, so I'm really starting to use the baiting. The baiting's really like, you know, throw a snow leopard into the mix and it fucks everything up, you know, for them. But you also need to watch your back because you can throw the bait and it can come and attack you.
Yeah, so, it can backfire.
Yeah,
but there's skill trees in this, just like 3, right?
Yeah,
can you spec into any certain type of fighting?
Yeah, you need to spec into there's a defensive and an offensive branch. And the defensive one is more about syringes. I've never used one syringe in the whole game, so I don't really care about them. But you need to spec into riding elephants. That's the only way you can do it. So I had to do that. And the other one is more about like stealth and like reloading and attacking and stuff. But this is probably the biggest flaw in the game. I'm not a fan of the skill tree. I'm taking a page out of your book now, holding on to skill points. I've got something like 17 skill points. I don't use any of that shit. I'm waiting for shit to unlock so I can see what I need.
Yeah.
And then I'll dump a bunch into it. Mm-hmm. Not just getting them. So that's the only thing I'm disappointed in, I think. The story is interesting in that there's not one person you're taking. You kind of have to vote, basically, on which person you want to lead the people, the freedom fighters. There's two people vying for, and you could do the missions of one or the missions of the other. And they're completely different missions. And the person that you go with ends up being the leader. So you kind of have to get
it. So you can't do both missions.
You can't do both, no.
You have to choose one. Uh-huh.
And the other person starts to resent you as well. So that was an interesting dynamic. And it's like GTA in the jungle, man. It's like, here's a playground. We've made this playground. Go have fun. And I love it. There's so much shit to do.
Wow.
Yep. Now I'll stop gushing about it now.
As the cops roll up.
Yep.
GTA style. I don't know what it is between GTA and Far Cry, but Far Cry seems way better to me. GTA, I don't know if it's... I think it's the point of view. Being a first-person character, or maybe it's the fact that I've played just about all the Far Cries, but I like that so much more.
That's why I'm so excited for this GTA. I'm going to be able to play in first person for the first time. So
yeah,
that's going to be exciting.
I wonder how much that'll change the game.
I think that's my most anticipated thing of 2015 right now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll definitely play it, but begrudgingly. We'll see.
Well, everybody likes it, so I can't like it.
Well, I got to see what all the hype is about.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about some news. So last week we cut it off a little short. Didn't get a chance to talk about the Steam auction, which has already came and went, but that was very interesting.
Oh, it was a limited time thing?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, okay. From the 12th to the 18th, they were doing an auction where they came out with this new currency on Steam called Gems, and this was a way for you to get rid of all your extra emoticons and backgrounds and cards, anything that was cluttering up your inventory that you didn't want, because there's no way to get rid of them before. And people were selling them in the market for 3 cents, which is the minimum you can sell anything for. And there was just all this extra crap that just needed to be flushed out. So they came up with this
idea. Do you regret giving away all your stuff that you gave away now?
I would have made a lot more gems, but I don't know. I don't regret it. Fuck it. Yeah. How many? I still made, like, I don't know, 6,000 gems or something.
Put that into context for me.
Well, let me explain the whole thing, then we'll get into the currency. It was a wild ride. It was pretty interesting. Another friend of mine, Stoner Smurf, who follows the market a lot too, we were just talking back and forth the entire time this thing was going down. But basically what you could do is you could turn your emoticons and backgrounds into gems. Some of them would turn into 100 gems. Some of them would be as low as 10 gems. So immediately games like backgrounds and emoticons from games like Counter-Strike and any Valve game and anything from a previous holiday sale was worth 100 gems. It became very valuable, and people were buying those up. Things that you could put in the market for 3 cents and wouldn't sell for years were all of a sudden going for 20, 25 cents. It just turned the market up on its head. So that happened, and somebody learned how to dupe or found out how to dupe these gems, and all of a sudden there were billions of gems in circulation. The price of a sack of gems, which is 1,000 gems, dropped to 3 cents. I bought a shit ton of them, and you can use these gems to create booster packs for cards if you want to level up your account. So I did a lot of that, and I made more booster packs to sell. I pretty much came out on top in this deal, because what happened after this whole mess happened, after they crashed the market, Valve shut the whole thing down for almost a full day. Shut the whole thing down, refunded money, took things out of people's inventories, banned certain people. Not me, no.
Wow.
I heard that they were taking card packs, but I had opened all my packs or sold all my packs, so I didn't lose anything. Like I said, and I got my $5 back, so I really came out on top on this. But some people, not so much.
So you didn't bid on any games, then?
No, I thought that was a waste of money, because the price of a sack of gems before it crashed, currently it's at 50 cents. During the auction, it was about a dollar for a sack of gems, maybe even a little bit more. So some of the bids were 30,000 gems for Counter-Strike Go. That's $30.
Wow.
If I'm doing my math right. $30 for if you were to buy the gems outright. Now, a lot of these people probably made gems by converting them, but it just seemed like a waste of money to me to bid on that.
Especially for you, I think buying the card packs is definitely the way
to go. Exactly. I was more interested in
that. Did you get some shit that you needed?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, I cleaned up on this whole thing.
Nice. Does every pack like include a rare or something?
Foil, but no, it doesn't. Those are very rare, but you just need a lot of cards to level up the set. You can craft it 5 times, and the minimum a card set has is five cards. So if you need that 5 times 5 times 15, you know, what is that, 50, 75 cards? So you need a lot of cards. So it saved me a ton of money, not to get into the specifics of it. But after this whole auction thing finally cleared up, it went the way it was supposed to. Valve made a ton of fucking money off of this, I'll bet. I was able to level up significantly and not spend that much, so it worked out for me. And then all this was all over.
You think we'll see this again?
I don't know. Maybe. I think it was pretty successful despite the mishap.
Did you grab all those packs and open them knowing that they were probably going to do some sort of re-roll or like rollback on this stuff?
I didn't know what was going to happen. I just took my chances. I only spent $5. Yeah. I threw $5 down. I was like, all right, I'm buying as many gems as I can with this because the market's bottomed out. And I'm just going to craft all these packs and either sell the ones I don't need and use the ones I do need.
Bob, start doing stocks, please.
I really should. My dad and my brother are huge into stocks, and this is like my stock market.
They day trade?
No, they don't day trade. They're in there for the long haul.
If you were a day trader, we'd have our own studio right now.
If I could apply this knowledge to something
useful. Chicks in bikinis serving us drinks.
Well, I don't know. The Steam market is really getting interesting. It practically is like day trading with this. It's getting crazy. But after this auction finished, price of gems went down to 50 cents. You can just use them to either sell in the market or craft booster packs now. So, that was a wild ride. But
so
all this stuff...
Gems are absolutely useless right now?
No. You can use them to craft card packs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's pretty much their only use. And not as many people are into leveling, so the prices drop significantly.
So how much you... is it still bottomed out?
No.
Okay, so how much is it for... I mean, is it financially viable for you to just buy these things to buy card packs?
Or no.
Craft card packs? Okay.
No. They're going for about 50 cents. I could buy a pack of cards cheaper than that, depending on the game.
Well, honestly, what you're doing right now, the way you're doing it now is you're buying cheap games and then farming cards off of those, which is...
That's not even an effective way of doing it. I don't do that as much, but the cheapest way to do it is just to buy the cards outright.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. If you really want to know how to level, check out that video I made on how to power level your Steam account. Like, that's the way to do it. But all that happened with Steam, and then, of course, the holiday sale started, and that really didn't affect anything. But there were some big changes to Steam as well. They for a long time, for the last month or two, they've been really hammering away at the trading that's going on between regions. A lot of people are going to sites like SteamTrades.com and getting games for really cheap because games are a lot cheaper in Brazil or Russia. Or
like how you say some people.
Some people.
Some shady characters.
Yeah.
Anybody but us has been...
Yeah. Well, Steam finally, I mean, they've been doing things like making some items not tradable for a week or a month to kind of mitigate this, but they pretty much outright stopped it now.
And rightfully so. I mean,
yeah. Well, that's the thing about it. That's the point I want to make is I can't be mad at Steam for doing this. They are a business. Some people are getting upset with Steam because they think like, oh, they're greedy companies or whatever, just trying to make more money. And like, dude, they're fucking business. They're trying to, that's literally why they exist, is to make money.
And I mean, they're doing a service as giving selling these things cheaper for other countries that can't pay as much as other countries would. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know if they're doing a favor to anybody. They have to adjust their prices because the value of the ruble, the Russian currency, is so low. I don't think they have a choice.
My biggest problem with this whole thing is I'm stuck with all these fucking rubles now. Got like a pile of fucking rubles. And I can't buy fucking Steam games.
What a ruble looks like. But I don't know. So basically, you can't buy cross games from somebody in Russia and then have them trade them to your account and get them for very cheap.
This affects maybe 5% of our listeners, I think. Maybe 10%.
Probably not many. I don't know. I think this was on the rise. I think more and more people were really starting to do this. And it wasn't... I think Valve saw that and wanted to address the problem right away because they saw this as... pretty soon, everybody was going to be getting their games this way.
Yeah.
The reduction in price was ridiculous. I was able to get games for $4 or $5, games that would have normally cost $25 or $30.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not talking half price. We're talking third, quarter of the price in some cases. It was a ridiculous discount. So I'm not surprised they finally stepped in and did something. It was fun while it lasted, but... apparently the party's over.
Yeah, I think we could end on that. It was fun while it lasted, right?
Yeah. Fun while it lasted.
Okay. Adam Carolla always talks about how the... talking about fun while it lasted. He said that he was in his 20s, post-Coke, pre-AIDS. So if he was like... he said it's the greatest time of all time to be an American. He said there's plenty of cocaine... and no AIDS to worry about is the greatest time. He's like, wow, that was fun while it lasted.
I could probably say that about my entire 20s.
Yeah.
Fun while it lasted.
Good shit.
Yeah, whole decade. All right, so are we getting to the end here?
I think we're done. Yeah, are we going to do the giveaway for... we're going to do a giveaway.
Well, the Twitter giveaway, we should clarify, is ending at the end of the year.
Yep.
We're going to randomly give away a $20 Steam credit to anyone who has followed us on Twitter. You just have to post your name in the discussion thread on our Steam group.
Only 13 people have done it. So your chances of winning are really, really high. Just super easy.
Yeah.
Start a Twitter account, or dlgaming.net, write it out. Or you can just go to our Steam page. The link is right there.
Yeah, everything's linked on our Steam page.
Yeah, and go to the discussions and just put in your name. You literally have to... it's like four clicks and you're entered. So
awesome.
Yeah.
So the next giveaway we're going to be doing is the Steam group giveaway. So we're trying to bolster the numbers for our Steam group, DL Gaming, I believe it's called, Digital Logic.
We're going for 1,000, right?
Yeah, I think so. We're at about 624 currently.
Yep, that's us all.
Yeah, we're trying to hit 1,000. So
not that I check every 5 minutes. Right?
I probably check like seriously at least every hour. I check something on Steam.
Yeah.
So yeah, I keep a close eye on that.
I don't.
But must be nice. But how are we going to do this? Most invites or most people who send out the most invites or most people that actually get people in the group?
Yeah, I think net. The most people that they net. Whoever nets the most people for us, you know?
Okay.
Yeah, so Bobby figured out that we can see who invites who, right?
I can check the group history and see who invites who and if that person joined or not.
Yep, and it's if gonna you be get smart. The most people in... then you'll win. So this one isn't random. You can actually strive and get the $20.
Yeah, it's a competition. Game's on.
Game's on.
So you can even just go to your friends list and do invite all. It's a little spammy. Or you can be selective about it. I don't know. I'm not going to tell you how to do it. But yeah, the person who invites the most, when's the deadline on this one?
Let's give it till January 30th.
Wow, we're going to go that long?
I don't know. 15th?
All right, let's do halfway through January.
Okay, sounds good.
January 15th you have. And then we'll post on the Steam group like who's in the lead, and we'll post the stats for that
periodically.
Yeah, we'll
put a discussion about this whole thing.
Explaining everything. So check the Steam group for that. You can find all our stuff at dlgaming.net. There's a link to everything we do on there, our YouTube channel, Twitter, our Steam group, everything.
And a couple shout-outs you have?
Yeah, definitely. Wanted to give a shout out to I don't know if I'm going to pronounce this right. No Torp. I figured it out. It's Proton Dark backwards. Mm. But this dude's been building his computer over the last, month or two, I think. And I've pretty much been there every step of the way with him, just talking back and forth about parts. And, yeah, you know, it's an exciting time. It's his first build.
Oh, cool.
He got some really, really expensive parts. So, you know, this stuff is stressful. When you're putting that much money into something that you've never done before and hoping it just all works out, right. Like, that's... that's crazy. But he got like a G-Sync monitor, and he finally got everything together. He's kind of in the middle of figuring out the overclocks, and he's telling me the G-Sync's amazing. I cannot wait to get that.
And we'll do, is it up and running?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's up and running. Yeah, cool. And he's playing Mass Effect 3, Inquisition. Like, he's playing all the top titles.
Nice.
He's finally reaping the benefits of all this work, and it's awesome whenever someone decides to build their own rig. It's stressful, but
And I want to give a shout out to SeaWill. He donated a game to the cause, so that's always cool. If you guys have anything laying around, an extra copy or anything, if you want to donate it to the podcast, that's cool. We'll either play it and then talk about it, or we will we'll give it away. Bobby's always doing giveaways every week.
Yeah. Yeah, I forgot to do it last week, but I'm going to be on it this week. And remember, there's always a special menu. I kind of keep the good ones off to the side. So if you listen to the podcast and hear me say, check the special menu, then you can ask about that and get the good ones. And by good, I mean slightly better than crap.
And sights?
Oh, yeah, sights. Shout out to that dude. I talked to him a few nights ago. We're hopefully going to be getting into some war band. He won the... pack swag pack, and I talked to him the day he got it. He was super stoked.
Nice.
So that was awesome, man. We got a nice little community going on here.
Yeah,
Made some friends. It's been
the same. If you guys feel like the same names are keep popping up, it's because there's people that are more. They just hit us up, you know. You can be one of those people too. You can talk to the famous people over here on Mount Awesome. No, I'm just saying we're super accessible. Just don't get spammy.
Yeah. No, I'm literally always on Steam. I put my statuses offline, so I just don't get a lot of randos messaging me or inviting me to games because I got like 1,800 people on my friends list. But I'm pretty much always online, so Steam is a great way to get a hold of me.
Yeah, for sure. And like, say you're playing a game and you have a strong opinion, like something comes up, or what do you think? Just hit us up. Send us a question. We might address it on the show or whatever.
Yeah.
We always need shit to talk about.
Yeah, definitely, dude. And I'll sneak in one last, just like our listener appreciation episode, I'll sneak in one more shout out here.
You know, hug it up?
One dude that always, he'll be listening to our episode, and he'll like start messaging me like halfway through, either strongly disagreeing with something we said or agreeing with it, cracks me up. Dustin, what's his, Fisty.
Oh,
that's
his
screen name. Yeah. He cracks me up, man. If he hears something he doesn't agree with, he does not wait. He'll let me know. And he's a hell of a Payday 2 player. So we got to get back on that game.
Cool.
All right. So I think that about does it.
Yeah. I had a good time right now.
Yeah. It was fun.
Yeah.
Should do this again next week.
Motherfucking titties. Titties.